And I don't for a second think they faked them. I've run through in my mind all of the technical possible explanations, alternative explanations for what we're getting, and I've ruled those out. Therefore, I believe this is the real McCoy. However, there is a slight fly in the ointment for me, and we'll talk about that aspect in just a moment. Fly in the ointment. What do I mean by that? Well, here it is. If there is consciousness and continuation following what we have now, most Christians, why limit it to Christians? The world's population, I think, has it in their mind that there is the traditional picture of, you know, the angel with wings bopping about from nice cloud to nice cloud. There is the image of meeting with relatives who have passed on the other side, loved ones, pets, all of that. Or perhaps you believe there'll be 70 virgins on the other side. I don't know. You know, it takes that range. But many people believe many things. The problem in the ointment, in the fly in the ointment, is that what we're hearing tonight and what we always hear when we do EVPs, well, it just doesn't sound like somebody in the middle of 70 virgins or flying and flitting about from cloud to cloud or any of the rest of that. It sounds, in some cases, scary. Scary'd be the right word. So it doesn't meet a lot of expectations of what the other side is like for a lot of people. You two, any comments?
No, Art, why do you have to be so negative?
Well, I'm... It's a observation impossible not to make.
No. you know, I have never seen anything that contradicts, you know, that there's a heaven or a hell or anything else.
Yes.
I think this is just something else that happens. You know, personally, I do believe that there is a heaven and hell. I think that's something that's out there, and for whatever reason, these people haven't gone there.
All right, so your answer is these people aren't there, wherever there is, yet. But they're also
correct,
they're
yeah.
also not here. So
they've got a foot here, but, you know, they're still anchored here.
And, you know, there's been times and locations that we've gone numerous times, and, you know, we've recorded the same voice a couple of times, and then all of a sudden the voice just disappears. That person does not appear on our recorders anymore. And we just don't hear it again.
You believe they've moved on?
It almost seems like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back to, there's a voice that, it sounds like an older woman saying, "I'm completely dead."
I remember that, yes.
And when you listen to that, you know, obviously we're doing an investigation, and all of a sudden this woman says, "I'm completely dead." And you listen to it, and it's almost like she's just realized by us being there looking for ghosts that, hey, I'm dead. I'm not supposed to be here.
Huh.
And that's it. She's gone. We never heard from her again, anything.
And we've gone to that location many, many times.
All right. Then, to be clear, you don't think you're tapped into heaven. You don't think you're tapped into hell. You think you're tapped into something in between is the only phrase I can think of. Purgatory, whatever.
Exactly. It's something that's in between.
And that something in between has these people on Earth not necessarily even knowing they're dead.
I believe that that's the case in some instances.
Especially when you look at them interacting with us. And, I mean, there's definitely cases where they are aware of us.
All right.
Aware of what we're doing.
Case number 4.
Okay, now this is also from the Wiccans house. And I had just gone into the basement where the lady had said that she felt such an evil presence and she was being scratched and, you know, the door was blowing open and shut.
Right.
And you hear me say, "Is anyone down here?" And then, this makes no sense really, but it sounds like a man saying, "I want to feed bugs."
I want to feed bugs? Okay.
Is anyone...
Oh, that's not...
Anyone down here?
I want to feed the bugs. I want to feed the bugs.
Well, that's one of those that I'm not sure that's what I hear, and I don't know if it's as clear to me as that one more time.
Is anyone down here?
Okay. I don't want to feed the bugs, but you know, that's one of those cases where I can't tell what you've suggested to me I should hear is what I then hear or what.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, as we've mentioned, this is very subjective. You know, some are very clear, and it's just you don't come to any other conclusion. But there are some that are, I mean, if we say it, that's more than likely what you're going to hear, because we've already trained your mind to hear that.
All right, so you just flat admit that's true.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. That's one of, I don't know if it's so much a problem with EVP, but it's one of the biggest hurdles with it. Because ultimately, there's a voice that should not be there. But, I mean, trying to decipher what some of these are saying is really hard.
All right, and if people want more, you have a website, ghostpicks.com, I believe it is, right?
That's correct.
That's, spell it for everybody.
It's ghostpix.com.
All right. And
actually, real quick, I do want to announce that we just put the second recording of the Spiricom tapes up there.
The whole second half?
The whole second half, the entire hour of it.
God
bless you.
There's
now 2 hours of Spiricom on our website.
All right. Spiricom, George Meeks, these were incredible experiments in which they talked real time to spirits on the other side, and the spirits actually gave them electronic design in order to improve the machine used to communicate with the other side. It was incredible what went on, and you've got the second hour up there.
Yes, that's correct. So you can go there, just click on the Spiricom link, and you can download the two MP3 files.
I have not yet heard the second hour. How is it as compared to the first hour?
You know, I don't think it provides really as much contemporary information as the first hour did. I mean, because obviously in the first hour you had Mueller from the other side, you know, giving a social security number and, you know, giving electronics info on how to fix the machine and all that. And
I know. That affected me profoundly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, how can it not? It's, I mean, if that's true, I mean, it's amazing.
Have you two ever thought of trying to get into the business of live communication?
We have.
Yes.
It's been a hard thing. I know we mentioned about 2 years ago we'd started working with a real-time recorder is what we called it. It was basically just a tape player that had a second playhead. And so
that
you
could hear whatever it is live.
Exactly. It was about a second delay between the time we said something and the time we actually heard the recording of it.
All right.
And it didn't work so well.
It didn't work so well.
No, it took a lot of modifying, and we're still now toying with it. But
okay, you understand, don't you, the concept that Meeks worked with, the sort of white noise, and you'd have to study the circuitry, but he produced a noise that made it very easy for spirits on the other side of whatever to modulate this white noise or this noise that he created.
Oh, yes.
And how about pursuing that?
This is where it's a little different from what we do. I mean, it ties in, but not exactly. I don't think what they're contacting through things like Spiricom and all that is the same. I mean, they're obviously people that have lived and passed on, but I don't believe they're actual what you would call a ghost. I don't believe they're stuck here for some reason. I think they are actually on the other side.
Oh, you do?
I don't see why they would have stayed behind. And there, as far as I know, there's never really been a case of any haunting activity associated with any of
them. How do you delineate between the two, if you don't mind? I mean, what makes you decide that?
Well, just what I just said, that there's never been what you would consider haunting activity associated with, you know, the Spiricom research and things like that. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I just thought of something. When Meeks was doing this, Meeks and Bill O'Neill, the two researchers doing the Spiricom work,
yes,
they actually did report that a book on one end of the laboratory had gone and floated from one end to the other.
Voila.
So, yeah, that just popped in my head. So maybe let me take that back.
Consider it taken back. Good enough. We work on the fly here. All right, number five. Back to EVPs here. Number five.
Okay, on this next one, we are still in the Wiccan house. You will hear Brendan say, "I tell you what, it is hot in this house."
Uh-huh.
And then a male says, "She didn't put it down."
Huh. Okay, here we go.
"I tell you what, it is hot in this house.
She didn't put it down."
Huh.
"She didn't put it down. She didn't put it down."
That one's a little hard, isn't it?
Yes.
It also has that odd noise behind it. She didn't put it down. But if you'll all listen closely to that, there's a kind of a, what's the right word for it? A kind of wavery aspect to the way the voice comes through. And it's very apparent in this one. What do you all think that is?
We hear that from time to time. Not every voice, but there are certain voices that we hear that wavery sound, and there's also, we've noticed, a popping noise every once in a while. Before these voices comes in, there's almost like a pop or a click.
A snap or something.
Interesting. So do you frequently record that pop or click in what you give us here on the radio, or do you just ignore that part? That's very interesting. And do you hear a pop or a click at the end?
No, not at the end. You just hear it right before the voice comes in. And there's been times we've actually heard that pop or click, and I've gone, it's going to be interesting to see if a voice comes in right after this. But we have actually presented some on your show.
Oh, you should have told me this a long time ago. That's something worth considering, as though something has been tapped into or a connection has suddenly been established of some kind?
Exactly.
Fascinating. Okay. Onward and upward. Let's continue. What's next?
Okay. Now this one, I'm still in the basement, and I'm talking to the ghost, which is what we normally do. We treat them like regular people.
Yes.
And you hear me say, "Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?" And then this man sounds like he says, "I'm a big freak." Now, here's the interesting part about this. This voice and the voice right after that were recorded within 20 seconds of each other. And this is where I get the feeling, like I told you earlier, that this is the same entity, just acting as different things. Because this is a man's voice, and the next voice is a kid's voice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here it comes.
"Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?"
Oh, brother, I'm a big freak. Clearly, it does sound like he's saying, I shouldn't use the word clearly, it's not entirely clear. But yes, it sounds like he's saying, "I'm a big freak." Listen carefully.
"Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?"
"I'm a big freak." A self-admission from a ghost.
If that's what it was.
Do you think that's what it was?
I mean,
it does appear to be an answer to the question, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Why'd you scratch that lady? Because I'm a big freak. All right, so look, what's being suggested here, obviously, we've said this before, is that this place that we're tapped into, whatever you want to call it, is, in fact, some kind of middle area where people are still here on Earth. Is there any time that you can attach to it? I mean, have you had people that are from hundreds of years ago who still are not gone? Or is it usually a recent death or what?
No, we've never really been able to correlate any kind of time with it, other than there's some voices that we record and it's almost in a slang. I mean, a slang that, maybe was from,
in the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, you can correlate it with that because, that word wasn't around that long ago. So, but, I mean, we've never had somebody say, lived in a log cabin in 1834, something like that.
Huh. And references to current time or current events or things that are going on right now, any of that?
No, nothing like that, which is sad because, I mean, if that happened, I mean, it would just be amazing. I mean, it'd be along the lines of the Spiritcom work.
Yes. Would it bother you to do the kind of work that was being done at Spiritcom, to be in a ongoing, full-time, would just absolutely rack your mind discussion with somebody on the other side? I mean, could you handle that?
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful.
I think ultimately that's our goal. I mean, if we could ever get to the point that the technology is there to do that, I mean, that's what we're working for.
Well, of course, with the right person and the right equipment, you can follow on the Meek's trail and give it a try. I think it would be pretty scary stuff to do myself. The next one, number 7.
All right. This one you will hear Brendan say, and this was just shortly after the last voice. You will hear Brendan say, "Did you do it to hurt her or to scare her?"
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a child that said, "She did hurt me."
Okay, here we go.
Did you do it to hurt her or to scare her?
She did hurt me. Is that what you all are hearing at the end? Again, it's a little tough. But once suggested, clearly you do hear that. One more time.
Did you do it to hurt her or to scare her?
Again, a child's voice, and a child's voice saying, "She did hurt me." Wow. By now, are you beginning to get some kind of impression with regard to what went on in this house? Do you think it went on in that house?
I'm not sure what it was that went on in the house, because the house really was not that old. I would say 20, 30 years maybe at the most.
Hmm.
But, I mean, this goes back to what we were saying with them being Wiccan. I think the things that they have dealt with and things that they have done and maybe opened up, and like Barbara said, I don't even really believe that this is a ghost, as you know, like what we normally deal with, that this is somebody that's lived, died, had a body, everything. It just, these voices strike me as different than things that we've recorded in the past.
Different in what further sense?
Well, different as in, I mean, when you put it in the context with what these people have said has happened in the house and things that they've experienced. I mean, we don't see that at the cases that we investigate. We don't see people being scratched and physically hurt. Things like that. It just seems like a whole different thing here.
Can you capsulize your feelings about these two women? Were you being leveled with? Do you believe them?
Yeah, I had a sense that they were telling the truth. It was something that was afraid of them, and I mean that they were afraid of. And when with talking with them, they didn't really realize what they were dealing with.
Got it. All right, hold tight. By the way, once again, if you want a sneak peek into the world of shortwave radio, it's free. It's a free site called smeter.net, www.smeter.net. Day or night, doesn't matter, you can check out the site, and there's several receivers that will introduce you into the world of shortwave. In the meantime, Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth are here, and again, With respect to the nature of the things that we're hearing, some of them are quite frightening, you two. This is not a very appealing area where these people are, or it doesn't seem like it is. It seems at times to me, and maybe that's just negative old me, but it seems more negative than positive and scary than fun.
Yeah, definitely. This, these two women were definitely afraid of where they were at, and we could feel that as soon as we went into the house. You know, I don't feel anything. I'm definitely not a psychic or sensitive or whatever you call it. But when we walked into the house, I mean, it didn't feel good. I mean, you knew something bad was going on there. So, I mean, I almost felt bad for them in a way, because they, like Barbara said, they didn't know what they were getting into, and now they're stuck dealing with it.
Do they think they know, or do you think you know specifically what it was they did that brought this on?
Well, I asked them if they do incantations and rituals, and they do.
Uh-huh.
So they had no idea that they believe that they are white witches, but they really don't have any kind of perception of the power that they're calling on.
Okay, here we go. Number 8 again. This is in the Wiccan house. Number 8. What's about to happen here?
All right. Well, this one, I was down another section of the basement again, and I'm just asking a standard question. I say, "Is anyone here? Does anyone want to talk to me?" And then you hear maybe a younger female sound like she says, "There was blood."
Oh. Wonderful. Here we go.
Anyone here? Do you want to talk to me?
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. That's almost too clear this time in my mind. It clearly says there was blood. There was blood. Well, all right. Listen one more time.
Anyone here? Do you want to talk to me?
All right, comments?
Well, listen to the way she says blood.
Yeah, I did.
There's almost an accent there. I mean, it's the way she pronounces it is just kind of different.
At this point, how can you not get some pretty negative vibes from this kind of thing? There was blood. I don't know what it means. It means at the scene of the death of this young lady, obviously a female, there was blood. Does it mean now, as in where that woman is?
You know, with that, like I was saying, this place was such a negative place, and what was there was so negative. And again, I think that this is all the same entity. I really don't believe these are different beings. I think this is the same one, just kind of toying with us. I mean, making us think there's all these different things going on when there's really just the one that's just doing nothing but tormenting these poor girls.
In all your years investigating ghosts and this sort of thing, how many times have you had and seen physical manifestations to the degree there is here, scratches, doors marked, all that kind of thing, very physical manifestations? How many?
The type of thing that we saw at this house, we have not encountered before.
The scratching, for sure. I've never seen someone that is claimed to be scratched, or at least somebody that I actually believe was scratched. We have seen people that say they were, and I really think it was them doing it to themselves, maybe in their sleep. But
so you didn't get any of that here?
No. In fact, you know, that you go back to the first clip, and Barbara's asking to look at this lady's fingernail,
right,
just to check.
Good point. All right, onward. Number 9, the last one in the Wiccan house, right?
Yes. You will hear me ask one of the ladies, I say, "And what is transpiring here is something that is fearful to you?" And she answered, "Yes." And then it sounds like a child who says, "Who kissed you?"
So you're telling me there are two different voices, a woman's voice first.
No, the lady of the house replied yes to my question.
Oh, I see. And okay, so who kissed you is just...
Is a child's voice. It sounds like a child.
All right, here we go.
"And what is transpiring here, is it something that's fearful to you?"
Yes.
Who kissed you?
Huh.
Who kissed you?
Oh, isn't that one an odd one? My goodness. that's one of the more clear EVPs that I've ever heard. Again, troubling hearing it. Obviously, a child. One more time.
And what is transpiring here? Is it something that's fearful to you?
Yes.
Yes, a child. And also very clear. Now, I don't know if it's just me or the audience is sitting out there shaking their heads, yes, that was clear. Some are going to seem, I'm sure, clear to some, and then, but there was no two ways around that. That is what was said there.
That's what we believe, yes.
Who do you think she was talking to? Or
you know, this one is so hard because that child does not sound like the other child's voice in that house.
Right.
You know, I really, like we said before, this house was so different from things we've experienced in the past. And the things that were going on there and the physical manifestations, all that was so different. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it was just such an odd place.
From all these years of EVPs that you've been doing, so many of them children, what have you learned? There must be, if somebody were to ask you, which I'm doing, what have you learned? How do you respond? What have you learned about the nature of the other side? What have you learned about what we can expect? How many of us are going to end up in this mid area that we can't seem to define very well? What have you learned?
Well, the first thing, and then this is the thing that struck me right off, is the personality stays the same. I mean, when the person dies and passes on, they don't become evil or wicked or anything like that. If they were nice in life, they stay that way. Just because your mother passes on, for whatever reason she decides, oh, I'm going to stick around, it doesn't mean she's become evil and is trying to hurt you. It's just, it becomes scary because you don't understand what's going on. But, I mean, the biggest thing is the personality. It stays the same. So if you were nice in life, you stay that way. If you were mean and evil, then you stay that way when you pass on.
Is there interaction going on between these entities? Have you learned that?
Yes.
We have recorded what sounds like conversation between two entities.
Okay. So then maybe our expectations really should be lowered. And it's going to be basically the same on the other side as it is here with all the frustrated, angry people that are in our world. They're simply going to move on and be frustrated and angry in the next one.
Exactly. Exactly.
I believe if you don't get your ducks in a row before you pass on, they're still going to be mishevelled in your consciousness when you pass.
And, you know, every EVP session we have ever done, one of our standard questions that we always ask is, what is it like where you're at?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it hot? Is it cold? Is there time? I mean, things like that.
Gee, I remember answers like dark and cold.
Yeah, exactly. And there was one that just threw me off. I remember it sounded again like a kid. I just asked, what is it like where you're at? And a child answers, birds. Just the word birds, and
well,
I didn't understand that.
That's slightly encouraging in a way, somehow.
In a way, yes.
Other than fire, brimstone, freezing cold, you know.
Now there you go being negative again.
It just isn't sounding like a party over there on the other side.
Well, I believe that the spirits that remain as ghosts and hauntings, I believe that they aren't happy.
All right, so did you leave these two poor, stricken, Wiccan practitioners with any advice or help or anything after your session?
I advise them to start researching what Wiccan is, not the new age stuff, but older books.
Well, I'm sure, Art, you remember. In fact, we were talking about this tonight. I'm sure you remember Harlot the Witch and all that.
Of course.
I think that's a lot of what these people don't understand.
But now, wait just a moment. A lot of people are going to be very upset. Harlot the Witch, actually the Satanist by her own description, was, it wasn't just Wiccan. Now, Wiccan a lot of people are going to write emails and be very upset because most Wiccans view themselves as
white witches.
Very positive people.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Not at all. Like, I mean, to make that comparison is to make a giant leap that we ought not make. That young lady was, you know, a Satanist. I mean, hail Satan, all that sort of thing. She said that she was going to take her son to hell with her, and it was very dramatic.
And without, and I didn't mean to make a comparison between the two, but what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of people that get involved with it before they, like these two ladies, before they realize what they are getting involved with. They are ignorant about the subject, about how to conduct themselves, anything. I mean, they have no protection at all. And they just go into it because, well, their friends are doing it, so, hey, it's a neat thing to do.
Okay, but it is in no way satanic that I'm aware of. So
no,
it's no,
they should, they should
inform
themselves on what they're getting involved in.
It sounds very much like a warning, or were you telling them they didn't know what they were doing? Go back and read about early Wicca or what?
Yes. They need to research and educate themselves on what they're doing.
All right. In the meantime, how do they get rid of somebody, obviously, you know, I mean, scratches and physical things? This is really bad. So how do they exorcise, perhaps the right word?
As far as it goes with them, I mean, we told them to do the standard thing that we tell people to do. If it really bothers them, you know, tell this thing it has to leave. Say, I do not want you here. You are not allowed to be here. You are in my space now. The thing is, with this, like I said, I do not believe this was an actual ghost. I think this is something completely different. And, I mean, we don't do exorcisms. We don't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them that, you know, and I don't even know if they could do anything that would actually work.
So I mean, what hope were you giving them, that you would somehow understand what the spirit wanted or get some information that would help them be rid of it?
Actually, I don't think we can give them much hope with these voices. It doesn't help them. If anything, it will make things worse for them.
If they were to move and physically get up and leave where they are and go someplace else, the odds of their being followed would be how high?
Well, it depends on if they've continued doing what they were doing and have not taken other precautions as far as protecting themselves when they do this, or even understanding really what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. So,
what kind of specific precaution would you talk about, for example?
Well, I
see, this is out of our realm.
Well, you know, I mean, as far as I'm not familiar completely with the Wiccan religion, but I know there are, you know, spells that they do to protect themselves and things like that. And, I mean, as far as we know and from what they have told us, they weren't doing this. They weren't, they were just kind of jumping into it because it was neat. It was a cool thing to do. So that's where their problem was.
I see. Over their heads.
Exactly.
All right, let's leave the Wiccan house, and where are we headed next?
Well, where we're at now is the Exchange Building, which is the location of the EVP that sounds like the boy drowning.
The Exchange Building being what?
That's
what it's called.
Is the Exchange Building. It's been, I mean, originally it was I believe a bank, and then office buildings, and then the last incarnation of it was a mental institution. Weaver County Mental Health, I believe, is what they called it.
Okay. All right, so a mental health facility where you would expect to get some pretty unusual stuff, I suppose, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. In fact,
we did get some unusual stuff there.
Yesterday, I had an email from the woman that owns it. I mean, we're in constant contact with her, you know, because this is an ongoing investigation that we're involved with.
Now, you guys call me negative. But here you are. Tonight's presentation consists of a Wiccan house and a mental hospital. Now, gee whiz, your expectations from places like this should be what?
Oh, negative. I, you know, it's the same as going to a prison. I mean, you look at the show we did with you where we went to the prison. I don't recall one happy ghost there. I mean, it was all negative stuff.
So, you guys kind of look for, let's see if I can put it to in the form of a question. Do you find more EVPs per hour of listening in negative places than you do in positive places?
Yes, we do.
Ah, so let me think, what might that mean? Could that mean that the people in these negative places are, let's think about this, less likely to move on if goodness and truth and love of God and all these things cause you to move on, then these people who are mostly negative, well, they haven't moved on yet. So,
correct. But, you know, we've also found that emotion, I mean, whether it's happy, love, sadness, anything like that, just emotion by itself is enough, it seems, to keep people here. You know, and we find this, we've theorized this with cemeteries. Because why would a cemetery be haunted? I mean, think about that. Why would you stay around your body after you passed on? And then you start thinking about, well, you know, all the family members that come to your grave every day and they're weeping for you and they're sad. It's the emotion. It's almost like it's keeping you trapped here.
I've heard that from so many. I mean, whether you watch movies or read books about this kind of thing, that is exactly the conclusion they seem to almost overwhelmingly come to, that love or attaching yourself, constantly thinking about that person in some way, keeps them here and doesn't let them move on.
Exactly, yes.
That appears to be the case in some of them.
Hmm. So then you find more negative people in this realm that you're tapped into for reasons that are obvious. They have the more negative people who have done negative things just don't move on. They're stuck here.
That's what it seems like.
So what about the possibility that what you're actually listening to, I hate to say this or suggest it, is hell?
I believe that could very well be.
You do?
Yes. People create their own hell here on Earth.
I mean, I think it's, I think a lot of this is repetition, and that's where you get your problem. I mean, I think to certain people, hell is repetition. So, and I know that's quoted from a Stephen King book, but I think that's very true. I mean, what is worse than that? And so many of these voices that we hear and certain haunting phenomena is repetition. You know, the same time every night you hear a door slam, you know, things like that.
No question about it. No question about it. So we're about to take a break, but when we come back, we'll go to this mental institution and we'll see what kind of, I don't know, what kind of vibes we get from that.